Welcome, all of you callers. We're very, very glad to have you with us. My name is Patty Whipler, and I'm the founder and the program director at Hand in Hand Parenting. And I have four co-presenters tonight who I'm going to introduce in just a little bit. People are gathering. We've had about 110 people sign up for this teleseminar, which is really a great turnout for the middle of December. And I'm going to talk a little bit about hand-in-hand parenting in the beginning here while people are still gathering so that they don't miss the introductions and miss the meat of what we're presenting tonight. So I'm just going to talk for 2 minutes about hand-in-hand. So we're a nonprofit organization. We were founded in 1989, so we're 25 years old this year. And we exist to provide parents with resources, training, and lots of support. And the way we deliver the support and the resources and the training is via a parenting approach that we call Parenting by Connection, which is an integral approach. It's attachment-oriented, and it is designed to be simple enough for anyone to use, but it's also very, very powerful because it focuses the attention on what we're doing and how we're doing as a parent and how we're helping our children on the connected relationship parent to child. So we are really wanting parents to know how to connect with their children well and to have ways to reconnect when that connection becomes frayed through distress, through trauma, through the everyday comings and goings of parents and the everyday kinds of things that children run into at school and at play and in daycare and with their brothers and sisters. So we try to show parents how to connect with their children, how to reconnect with their children, and half of our attention is really on how to support parents and get parents the emotional support they need to really to keep connecting better and better with their children. None of us had perfect parents. Our parents did the very best that they could, but parenting is not easy. And I think, you know, the farther you go back in the generations in general, the harder it was, the less resource people had at their disposal, and the poorer the ideas and the tools that they were working with for parenting in general. So our parents did the best they could, but they didn't have an easy time understanding us and our behavior. So I think every generation of parents kind of, you know, makes minor to major improvements on the job that their parents did with them. That we all could use more support and emotional support in particular because children are highly emotional beings. So Hand in Hand has focused its approach on five listening tools. One is parent-to-parent listening, peer counseling really for parents, which we teach and highly encourage. And we've got a whole discussion group full of people connected online, many of whom are doing listening partnerships with one another of one kind or another, to build emotional support for this highly emotional work. And then there are four parent-child listening tools. One is special time. One is called play listening, which is harnessing the power of laughter to help children offload fear, relax, and connect. One is setting limits, which we believe needs to be done early and often. We are not a permissive parenting approach. We're not an authoritarian parenting approach, but we are certainly not permissive. And stay listening, which is how you support a child who isn't getting what they want or can't have what they want, or who has just suffered an indignity or a trouble or has gotten hurt. It's really staying with a child and allowing them to have lots and lots of emotion so that they can clear that emotion out of their minds and return to being able to think well, cooperate, and feel enthusiastic and connected with themselves, with other people, and with their life. So those are our listening tools, and we have about 13 different ways that we present these tools online and in person and via online classes and conference calls, all of which you can find out more about on our website. So that's enough about Hand in Hand, and that's my very short introduction to Parenting by Connection. And what I'd like to do now is to introduce my four co-presenters, all of whom are mental health professionals and working with parents, and some are also working with children. And I'll do short introductions in the beginning, and then they're going to talk to you one by one about how they have found Parenting by Connection to be a tool that enhances their work with parents and children and with their clients in general. So our first speaker is going to be Maya Coleman, who is a clinical psychologist. She practices in Washington, D.C., in private practice, and she works with families of children who've had challenging early experiences like preterm birth, perinatal complications, early illness, medical treatment, developmental challenges, and attachment disruptions. So she works with families that are formed in lots of ways, through adoption, through foster care, through kinship care, and she has a background in special education and learning disabilities, and does work in that area as well. She's also an adoptive parent and is one of our instructors, and she leads our professionals intensive. And so, Maya, welcome. We're so glad to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Patty.
Okay. And I'm going to introduce Robin Sechko, who also leads the Professionals Intensive in Parenting by Connection. Robin's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she works in Sonoma County, California. And she gives Parenting by Connection talks and leads online parenting groups, works as a parent consultant in person and on the phone. And she and her husband, John, have two young adult children, and they owned and directed a children's summer camp for 9 years. Which is a camp I wish I could have gone to. It came a little too late for me, but welcome, Robin. Oh, Robin, I think you're muted out. Let me open your line here. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll have you talk after Beth. And Beth Ohanesson, are you here?
I am. Hello.
Great. Okay. So with us also is Beth Ohanesson, who's a licensed marriage and family therapist who's been practicing for 25 years in San Francisco, California. She's the mother of two who are young adults now, and her practice has been based in psychoanalytic theory, and she works with adults and parents and specializes in working with parents of children with sensory processing and learning differences. She's doing very powerful work in that area. So we're very glad to have you with us, Beth.
Thanks, Patty.
And Danielle, are you here? Let me see. Danielle, if you're here, raise your hand. Star 2. So I can call on you. Great. Okay. So Danielle Friedman is...
Yes.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
Hi.
Danielle Friedman is a licensed clinical social worker. She works in San Jose, California, and she works with both parents and children and works in both English and Spanish. And I think one of her specialties is working with immigrant families. And Danielle is going to talk a little bit later in our program. Thank you for joining us, Danielle.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have questions from those of you who want to ask questions of any one of our presenters tonight. And we'll probably get to questions at about 20 minutes to 6. And in the meantime, I'm going to ask Beth first and then Robin and Maya first, then Robin, then Beth, and then Danielle to take about 4 minutes and speak to the question of how do you use Parenting by Connection to enhance your work with parents and children and your practice in general. And Maya might give you a little bit more of a therapist's eye view into the approach in general. So go ahead, Maya.
Great. Thanks so much, Patty. It's just great to be here with everyone, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from so many great clinicians about, you know, your experiences using these tools in particular clinical settings. But first we thought it might be helpful to let's take about maybe 10 minutes to talk about where Parenting by Connection fits in the context of various theoretical orientations and also along the spectrum of parenting programs that you might already be familiar with. So I'll actually start by telling you a little bit about how I first came across the Parenting by Connection tools and why I found them to be so helpful, kind of both personally and professionally. So when my daughter, who is now 9, was about 4, I was finishing up my postdoctoral training in child clinical psychology, and I had been trained to teach quite a number of different parenting programs. So I was leading parent groups using Russell Barkley's model for parenting defiant children, as they were labeled, and I was working with individual families, kind of using Scheringa's preschool trauma treatment approach, and I was doing a lot of work with families using behavioral treatments for sleep difficulties. Most of the approaches that I was using were kind of generally based on kind of cognitive behavioral methods. And I was, of course, also making use of this information and these skills in my own parenting. And I have to say my daughter really got the most faithfully adhered to delivery of these models that you might want. And, she was generally doing well. But despite having access to such a wide range of evidence-based approaches and having intensive training with them to the point that I was teaching them, I have to say that I was just not enjoying being a parent. My relationship with my daughter felt, adversarial or like I was her supervisor more often than I wanted. And I just wasn't having as much fun as I was able to have with other people's children. And partly that was because of a pretty intense work situation that didn't really leave much room for the emotional work of being a parent. Ironically, this was work in the early childhood mental health field. And it just felt like there was an essential piece or a few essential pieces really missing from the approach that I was taking. And the biggest piece was kind of what to do with the intense emotions that my daughter had and the frustration and exhaustion that I was having. And then the other piece was just kind of feeling isolated and overworked as a parent. So I first became interested in Parenting by Connection for myself so that I could just have a better time parenting. And after a few years of kind of focusing on this approach, really just within my own family, which really completely turned things around for me, at that point I had decided to go into private practice and I started to think about incorporating this approach into my clinical work. So I'll just spend a few minutes kind of putting this approach into a larger theoretical context. So I think that the Parenting by Connection approach can be described as a relationship-based, emotion-focused, trauma-informed parenting program. And so to break that down a little bit, I'll just kind of talk about what each of those descriptors means. So relationship-based kind of means that the tools are based on the idea that emotional well-being and emotional healing happens in the context of relationships. And this idea is, rooted in psychodynamic principles and kind of the understandings we've built through the study of early attachments to caregivers and the effects of this attachment kind of throughout someone's life. So Parenting by Connection is an approach that focuses on facilitating emotional expression and communication along with promoting kind of co-regulation of emotion within the parent-child relationship. And this is, you know, broadly in contrast to behavioral or cognitive behavioral approaches, which focus on sort of addressing the thought patterns that lead to emotion and behavior. It focuses on kind of teaching strategies to manage interpersonal conflicts. So this is where programs like the Triple P Positive Parenting Program or Parent-Child Interaction Therapy, some of these other approaches are kind of situated. And those kinds of programs really focus on teaching parents about kind of differential reinforcement of behavior. So kind of rewarding desirable behavior, you know, providing minimal attention for unwanted behaviors, and just establishing clear consequences for misbehaviors. And the Parenting by Connection tools are not kind of designed to work within that reward and punishment paradigm, but really look at functioning within relationships and most specifically within the child-caregiver attachment relationship. So that's the kind of relationship-based piece. And emotion focus means that there's just a focus on the emotional self-perception of the parent and an emphasis on developing empathy for the emotional experience of the needs of the child. So the tools we use, like play listening and stay listening, really focus on attending to emotional expression and facilitating the tension-relieving processes like crying and laughing and trembling that are kind of the outward indications of this emotional healing and resetting process. So I think this is an area where Parenting by Connection has a really unique understanding of the emotional healing process. So other approaches might focus on kind of different ways to handle emotional expression, or kind of actively teach techniques for self-regulation. And Parenting by Connection really looks at what's happening during emotional moments. And we pay careful attention to what happens if we provide listening and a holding environment for that emotional expression. So we look at how, you know, behavior and thinking and regulation change when that process is facilitated or at least allowed to kind of run its course rather than being the focus of a specific intervention or regulation strategy. So Parenting by Connection is an emotion-focused approach that kind of operationalizes attachment theory. And Parenting by Connection is also trauma-informed, which just means that there's an awareness of the fact that many, if not most of us, have had difficult experiences at some point, and that the ways that we react to current situations and relationships are influenced by those earlier experiences. And this is really the essential kind of theoretical basis for all of the tools. So providing parenting, you know, support for parents so that we can work through our own feelings in listening partnerships or parent support groups is really a core part of the Parenting by Connection approach. So I think that the Parenting by Connection tools actually reflect a really deep understanding of what happens emotionally when people have difficult or traumatic experiences, as well as what the actual healing mechanisms are that we all use to recover from those kinds of experiences. And some of the resources online, especially that you may have come across the article, What to Say During Stay Listening, and some of the videos in the self-guided courses really include excellent descriptions of what the internal experience of trauma looks like and how it feels when some of those memories are activated by current circumstances, and also how to provide the safety and support for someone while they're having that kind of experience and those memories are being metabolized. So there's both the understanding of the internal experience of trauma and the awareness of what kind of external supports are helpful. So really, I think Parenting by Connection is just an excellent example of what a trauma-informed parenting approach should look like. So that sort of puts parenting by section in a kind of theoretical context. And I'll just spend a couple minutes talking about where parenting by section tools fit in the context of other parenting programs. So if you've ever been involved in kind of selecting or evaluating parenting programs for use in your clinical practice, you might be familiar with some of the meta-analyses looking at the specific components of parent training programs that are, you know, associated with the best outcomes for families. And actually, the CDC has been conducting research and analyses of the current research literature on training programs for parents of children, mostly birth to age 7. And there's a real focus now on kind of moving beyond examining complete treatment packages to really examine the effectiveness of specific components of parenting programs. So what I think is really interesting is to look at kind of how parenting by connection really includes all of the elements that have been found to have the largest effect sizes in these meta-analyses. So kind of to talk about some of these components, the most important active element in these effective parent training programs is increasing positive parent-child interactions. And this is really the purpose of both special time and play listening. And the tools give parents very concrete strategies that they can implement immediately in their families to, you know, to start to warm up their relationship with their child. And it's just really striking, actually, to hear back from families after working with them for even a week or two, that there's been so much more laughter and play in their families when that had been in pretty short supply. And so another essential element of these effective programs is a focus on improving emotional communication skills. And this is just what's happening during stay listening. Parents are being coached, in large part to put aside some of the strategies they may have been using that kind of have put a damper on welcoming emotional communication, and, you know, supports them to develop these listening skills. And so another effective component is actually framed as teaching parents to use some kind of timeout technique, which parenting by connection has really modified so that kind of the effective elements of a timeout are preserved, but it's not dependent on kind of a separation-based approach. So it's more like a time in with kind of opportunities to co-regulate. So no one else is really doing this. the advice to kind of ignore tantrums is so pervasive that we just haven't taken a good look at that yet. But it would be really interesting, I think, to see how time in or really stay listening, would look in some of these outcome studies. That fourth component is really the importance of kind of parent consistency in approaches, which I think is actually likely reflective of the parents actually having an approach they can feel confident in. And I think that if we measure this with our setting limits tool, which we advocate that we use at the first sign of trouble or off-track behavior, I think we would really see some of those same kinds of outcomes there. And then kind of the final component that's really important is opportunity for parents to practice the new skills with their own child rather than just kind of being given information. And this is also central to the parenting by connection approach. So most people are using it with their child in their own families. There are lots of opportunities to get support and feedback was actually trying these tools, you know, and even kind of how to structure larger emotional projects and how to bring the tools to bear on really complex kind of longer term challenges. So that was long, but hopefully that kind of gives you a bit of context in which to put the parenting by connection approach. But, you know, feel free to ask any questions at the end if I can kind of clarify any of that. So now you'll get to hear from some great clinicians about kind of what this looks like in their practice.
Thank you so much, Maya. Thank you so much. That's so cogent and really thank you. So, Robin, I'm going to see if you want to talk next about how you have used parenting by connection in your practice. And I think the second question, a very practical one, is what resources do you point parents to when you're, you know, sort of showing them or talking to them about this approach? What are the hand-in-hand resources that you fall back on that they can make use of really readily without shelling out a lot of money so that they can learn more and be independent, you know, learners independent of having to learn it all from you?
Okay, well, thanks. Mm-hmm. Often what I do is I'll bring an article to a session, or I will mail a link to an article, or I'll mail a link to a teleseminar so that they can begin hearing these ideas over and over, because I find that in my experience and most people's experience, it takes a number of, you know, I need to hear them almost every day to really start thinking differently about children's upset and the value of their upsets. So I also encourage people to do the, I think it's called the Parent Rescue Series videos, mm-hmm. because they're very affordable and then they can watch them over and over. So those are the things that I've found the most accessible and the most inexpensive for sort of in between sessions and regular exposure.
And
yeah.
Can you talk about a little bit about what you've noticed when you use these ideas? Like, you know,
I think, let's see, well, my most profound experience really was being, as I started to learn about hand-in-hand and the tools, was really being listened to and having the space to talk so honestly. And I absolutely am able to bring that listening in sort of new and richer ways always into the session. And what I notice with parents is that's a huge relief, because generally by the time parents come in, they've gotten very overwhelmed and very concerned about their children. And so to have a place where they can say whatever is on their mind in whatever way it's on their mind is a huge relief, and that immediately makes things safe and really much more thorough and profound. And I think we all went into these fields, you know, because we understand the healing power of listening and of really sort of bringing what's inside out. And we understand that healing and recovery happens within relationship. So the quality of my listening in the session and my understanding of the listening process has increased. And so what I notice with parents that I work with, that then they're able to really access more of what they need to parent their child, which is in there already, but gets really tiny with all the upset and all the ideas that may not be working. Mm-hmm. And then I think that using these tools through the adolescence of both our daughter and son gave me endless sort of experiences and insight, and which our path was obviously different from most of the parents I was around, but about how important it is to work within the relationship, and that so that when parents come in, then that's really my focus, is we really need, it's not about techniques and programs, it's really about how to dive into the relationship and stop doing things that erode the relationship and really, you know, as you've said often, Patty, to partner with our child, and especially with adolescents, you know, given that attachment energy is really polarized, nowhere do we see it more than in adolescence. Our teens are drawn towards us or repelled against us. And I've found that when I share these with parents, it provides them with profound, readily usable tools for reaching for their children, reaching for their teens, and just remembering how important our presence is in their lives on a regular basis. And as I listen to parents, they can listen to their children for sort of every little detail that's going to make up the fabric of their experience of living and their relationships with others. And also through the experience, through using the tools, through experimenting, and they can really return to deeply loving their child. And for me, I feel like I have no hesitation to sort of passionately share the ideas, knowing that all parents want to let their love be the primary experience, but so much gets in the way. And the Parenting by Connection has ideas for supporting us as adults, how to respond to children, build connection when it's needed, repair the connection when it's needed, when children get untethered, have been hurt, or feel really lost. And there's so much hopefulness in the tools, and that what I notice in sessions is that then there's this sense that healing is possible, is expected, and the process can be actually exciting and fascinating. Maybe very long, but it's powerful and it's hopeful.
Thank you.
So,
very, very
you're
nice.
Welcome.
Thank you. And Beth, I'm going to open your line. What would you like to say about how Parenting by Connection informs the work that you do with parents?
Oh, hi, everybody. It's great to be here. And thanks to Maya and Patty and Robin for taking the lead here. I can say that Parenting by Connection has profoundly influenced my practice, filled it up, and connected me with a great amount of resources that I can offer parents. That kind of goes to your second question, Patty. I just want to kind of throw out that Parenting by Connection offers parents a lot of free stuff and wonderful information that is comforting that they can access online. And by that I mean quick articles that, you know, beleaguered parents at the end of the day when they're curled up and crying in their pillow about how can I manage this next thing, can turn to and find comfort in. And that really leads parents to a very healthy community. Parenting by Connection is a very healthy group of practitioners and families who are putting relationship before task in their families. And that's a very exciting group to be a part of. I came into Hand in Hand because I was looking for a group format that I could offer parents. How it went for me is that I'm a psychotherapist, and I'm also a mom of two kids, and one of them has sensory processing differences. And if you don't know what that is, don't worry, it'll be more and more kind of in the news as time goes on. But one of my kids would have prolonged multiple emotional meltdowns daily, starting from about the age of 3. And the good clinicians that I was working with, pediatricians, would be offering behavioral strategies as kind of, you know, the best standard practice way to manage overwhelming emotion, and it really made everything worse. So I defaulted to my psychoanalytic training, which puts relationship before task, and I would sit with her and listen for as long as it took, patiently offering her warmth and confidence and just wanting to know who she is in terms of her conscious and her unconscious efforts. And it helped us so much. It helped her calm down. It helped me feel connected to her and that I was offering her something. And it felt like, you know, to use, you know, some language from Beyond, it felt like I was offering, you know, my best maternal alpha function as she was pouring out kind of chaotic beta elements. And she is, you know, now very much a young woman who thinks well and is emotionally connected and relationally connected to her studies and her peers. And so parents started asking me, how can you possibly have a relationship with this child? And please do groups for other parents of children with sensory processing differences. And I had no idea how to do that. I was an individual practitioner who wanted to work long-term, in-depth with individual adults. But as I was looking around online, I found hand-in-hand parenting because, you know, a lot of groups, parent groups, parent support groups and informational groups are conducted through hand-in-hand. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized that this is really the how-to of being a good enough parent, and, you know, stealing from Winnicott there. And it gave me all of a sudden, you know, language that was very connecting with families. It gave me a group format. I felt cared for deeply as a parent who, you know, had a lot of post-traumatic stress to get through after parenting my fabulous daughter. So I started offering the groups to parents. And, of course, what has happened from being able to offer very clear, relationally oriented tools is that parents are led back to how they are parented. So there's a beautiful circle that happens where we start with these kind of concrete tools of how to get through the day, but the groups, when they go long-term, which I've had the privilege of being able to have one of my groups go for several years now, it becomes more and more and more psychodynamically oriented in terms of parents' own trauma as a child. And that just brings me back to the heart of analytic work in the first place. So it's just been a pleasure and really a privilege to bring this practice, the hand-in-hand work, into my practice, and I couldn't be happier.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you. And lastly, I'm going to introduce, for now, for our presentation part, I'd like to introduce Danielle Friedman, who has a recent example of work with a child in her practice. And she told me the anecdote, and I just thought, you know, this is a sort of a good practical example of how building safety with a child results in a child feeling safe enough to spill out, you know, to show you where they're stuck, to show you where trauma or hurt is holding them back and really separating them from other people and from, you know, flexible relationships, and how you as a therapist can play a very important role in mediating their healing. So, Danielle, go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me, Patty?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Hi. So just quickly, I wanted to share this example that happened actually just last week in practice with an 8-year-old daughter of an immigrant mom. And this little girl has had a lot of relational trauma in her life and has a lot of that comes up in her relationship with her own sister, who's a couple years older, around feelings of unfairness and that people don't like the 8-year-old, that she's not liked, and she's very controlling in the play and directive in a way that's not flexible and fun for the other people. And she is easily agitated and frustrated when things don't go her way, not just in play, but throughout her many environments. And last week we were doing some sibling work around that, around fairness and, you know, helping her to learn to tolerate taking turns. And when I had to set a limit with her around, no, it's your sister's turn to choose, this little girl quickly fell apart you know, became very angry, but also tearful, and began sort of saying to me, you know, you hate me, you like my sister better, I don't, you know, I'm never coming back here, and just lots and lots of tears, and I set her sister up with something to do, and I just poured all the warm attention that I could onto her to stay listen with her. And there were several swells of emotion. She cried for a good 5 or 10 minutes and then decided that she wanted to play something else. And so we moved on to that. And then when another limit had to be set, the crying started again. And, at one point she, it was her mother had joined the session at the end. And there was again another time when a limit had to be set because my client, the 8-year-old became disruptive in the game. And she took the pictures that she had drawn for me off of my bulletin board and said, you know, took them away. And, I said, well, you know, I'll really miss those pictures, but if you change your mind, you can always bring them back. And it was, so we'd been in session almost an hour and a half for in total. And it was time for them to leave, and she was still very angry and crying and dropped the pictures as she left with her mom. And I went to pick them up, and then 10 seconds later there was a knock at my door, and there she was standing by herself. She'd come back in, and I sat and listened to her cry some more, very deeply crying, sobbing, unable to, you know, trying to talk, unable to get the words to come out. And I just watched her and just gave her all the warm attention that I could. And then she melted into me and came to me for a hug. And this is a little girl that hugs me every time she comes. She's very happy and loves to come to session. But during this session, she was able to show me all the hurt that she feels about being excluded and unliked, and then she melted into me, and she left to go to the bathroom, came back and hugged me again before very happily walked with me out to the car to where her mother was waiting. And I checked in with mom this week, and she said that she has noticed a slight shift for her daughter in terms of being more flexible and being more willing to sort of say oops when she makes a mistake or hurt, you know, is disagreeable with someone. So it's just, that's one of the ways for me as a clinician, understanding how to really provide the space for children to be heard, as opposed to trying to shift them into the cognitive world of calming their thinking, their feelings down, but rather allowing them to offload them. And then being able to teach their parents how to do that as well, while using the whole suite of Parenting by Connection tools. So hopefully that gives you a little sense of what that was like.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, I think we will open that up for questions. So if you have a question, please press *2, and I'll be able to see that you've got your hand raised, and I can open up your mic, and you can ask a question of Maya, of Robin, of Beth, or of Danielle, or of me, any one of us. Yeah. Okay, someone from, looks like Oceanside, California, or at least that's where you got your phone. Hello. Hello? If you just press *2, your mic is open.
Oh, it was an accident, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Do you have a question?
No, I was just about to get for all of us, Chris Clark, too.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay, well, I have a question from someone in Melbourne, Australia, who said, who couldn't make the teleseminar, but she said she wanted to ask this question. A child I know has had a recent onset of severe anxiety. She doesn't eat breakfast, according to her mom, is a different child all of a sudden. Mom thinks her anxiety is a result of a friend having an epileptic fit in her presence.
She now has big concerns about death. She had an extreme reaction to falling into a metal fence recently, for instance, and is now wondering if she will die from tetanus. So when it comes to clinical issues such as severe anxiety, social anxiety, depression, and so forth, I'm just wondering if these can be managed using the Parenting by Connection tools. So if you want to speak to that, would you, let's see, those of you who have raised your hands, I'm going to drop your hands now because we're on that question. You can raise them again in a moment. But if one of our presenters would like to speak to that. Maya, would you go ahead?
Sure. So, you know, I work with families whose children have had very significant early trauma and difficulties and attachment disruptions, and I really find that this approach and these tools are very comprehensive for working with families, even in really significant, difficult situations with, mental health challenges for parents and big challenges for the children. And so I actually find that in my work with families, using these tools really does provide support and assistance in difficult situations and complex situations like that. So, yeah.
I have a little anecdote that I'll tell just kind of along those lines. There's a Parenting by Connection mom up in Oregon who has a 13-year-old daughter who has a friend who has been diagnosed with, I think, a couple of different anxiety-related, quote, disorders, unquote. And this friend was over for an overnight at her house, she decided, the mom did, since she knows Parenting by Connection and knows this child has this pretty persistent difficulty being able to relax and it feels safe. They decided to all sleep together in the living room. So a couple of them were on different sofas, and one was on the floor, and this girl did not want the light turned out. She said she couldn't possibly go to sleep without the light. And the mom very gently said, actually, we are going to turn the light out, but we can keep talking. And the girl was frightened, and the mom started asking her, can you tell me a little bit about what you're scared about? And that didn't seem to help. It seemed to wind her further into her fear. So then the mom asked her, well, tell me the funniest thing that happened today. And the girl found a little funny anecdote and told it, and then the mom told a funny thing that happened to her, and pretty soon they started giggling, and then pretty soon all three of them started giggling about things they didn't even know what they were giggling about. It's kind of how laughter works, especially in a group, is that once one person begins to laugh, it's contagious. And laughter is a very powerful release of the lighter side of fears. It's not the only thing, the only way to release fears, but it often opens the gate to other release later on, heavier and sometimes more powerful expression of the, the fear reaction. And once you get that fear reaction expressed, a child can relax and they are less fearful. So they giggled and laughed and giggled and laughed, and the girl, after 15 or 20 minutes of just, telling funny stories, and I think they got into fart jokes, and I don't know, it wasn't dignified, but, the girl was able to fall asleep with the light off, which was actually a big victory in itself. And the next morning, a few friends joined them, and the mother was going to take them all to the beach, which is like a half an hour car ride. And this girl went, no, I'm not getting in the car. I'm going to call my dad. I want him to come pick me up. I'm really scared. I'm going to get sick in the car, and I'm going to throw up, and I just can't possibly go to the beach. I want my dad to come pick me up, which is, she was deep in the middle of a fear response. And the dad knows this mom and knows this mom can handle, difficult situations. So she called her dad, and her dad said, no, I'm not going to come pick you up. I think you're going to be safe to go to the beach with Tara. And so the dad sort of didn't, you know, he knew that Tara could handle this. I don't know how he knew this, but he did. And so what Tara said was, "Sweetie, we are going to go to the beach, and if you, I'll bring a bucket, and if you throw up, you can throw up in the bucket. It's not going to be awful. We'll help you. You won't be alone." And she put her head on the side of the car and just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed really hard. "I can't do this. I hate throwing up. I'm scared of throwing up. I don't want to go. I really need to go home." And she sweated and sobbed and sweated and sobbed. And perspiration and trembling and crying, all of these are a good release of the grief and the fear that, you know, keep children anxious and tight and unable to really notice that they're safe. And after about 15 minutes, my mom just stood next to her, put a hand on her shoulder very gently. Just every, when it would slow down, she'd say, "Are you ready to get in the car?" "No, no, I can't. I can't. I want my dad to come. Why won't he come? You know, I hate throwing up." And just, you know, kept imagining the worst and kept crying and crying and trembling and sweating. And after about 15 minutes, then she finally went, "Okay, you know, I'll try it." You know, and she got in the car. And the mom started driving, you know, this girl and I think three others to the beach. And they started singing on the way. And they sang the whole way to the beach. And the girl got there and she went, "Is the ride over? Is that all?" She was amazed that she'd gotten there. She hadn't even thought about getting sick because all of that emotional release relieves the, it just, it straightens the mind out so that, you know, the hurt doesn't cloud the perspective. And she got out of the car and she was elated. She was like, "Oh, I did it, I did it." And the other girls were congratulatory too. And then they went off and had themselves a good time. So, you know, that's one example of using both the gateway of laughter and stay listening and setting limits so that a child is actually encouraged to face what they're scared of, but not pushed into it. You notice the mother did not push her into the car, didn't scold her, didn't give her a lecture, you know, didn't tell her that there's a reward at the end of this if you do what you're scared to do, none of that stuff, just saying, "I know you can do it," offering confidence and listening. So that's a an example of how you might use it to help an anxious child. And every child is different, so, you know, that these tools have an infinite number of applications. Any creative person can figure out, you know, how to use them after they've had a little practice. Any other questions? You want to raise your hand, you know, press star 2. Okay. Amy, welcome. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Hi to Robin, who was the leader of my professionals intensive this past spring. So my question is kind of, it's broad in general, but anyone who has any insights, I'm open. I'm working with an 8-year-old client now, yes, and the presenting concern from her parents is that she is basically being subjected to a great deal of bullying at school, and how that's kind of their concern on the school level, just how she's tolerating that, how she's doing at school is very much kind of high functioning and overcompensating by being on her quote unquote good behavior there. And at home is her, you know, more, I guess, distressed or emotionally upset behavior. And parents basically are also reporting that at home she's, you know, having a lot of conflict with her younger sibling, who she thinks is favorited in the family, and also hoarding food, which I guess basically means taking food from the kitchen when she's not supposed to and keeping it in her room, and the parents then find it later and find remnants of it later. So in our individual work together, she basically presents as very composed and together and contained and wants to play games and is very proper and, you know, just not presenting any concerns or issues at all. And when I reference back to anything that the parents have said in front of her about their concerns or how she's doing, she is very quick to just kind of dismiss that conversation and just wants to keep going on in our play experience together. I'm just wondering if anyone has any thoughts about how to engage her further. We've been working together. We worked together for about 5 sessions and then stopped for 6 months because the parents needed to take a break, and then have now worked together for another 5 sessions.
Okay. Let's just see if any of our presenters have want to briefly describe how they would kick things off. Danielle, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
So, hello. You know, I have worked with a child actually the similar age, and presentation. Her issues were different, but her presentation was one of being pretty together. And what I have found, even recently, which has worked with her. Her family was separated, and we've been recently reunifying them. And is play listening, and really going for what makes her laugh. And I sort of found out by accident we were playing with a barrel of monkeys, and you know, I let her take the power role, and she would grab all the monkeys, and then I would pretend to be surprised and, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Well, can I please have one monkey, just one monkey? And she would give me a monkey, and then I would, how about another one? Can I have another one? She would give me another, pretend to give me another one, and then snake my first one away. And there was some very deep and like hearty, hearty laughter for both of us. And, she's repeated that play in session a couple of times. And, I've just noticed a difference in a more relaxed, presentation in her, in the session since then. So I don't know if that might be a help for you with this young girl to try and get the laughter going for her.
Yeah, I think so. I like it. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
I would recommend that as well. Like laughter for children who are being bullied or who, you know, have more than, you know, have frequent occasions of feeling powerless, either at school or within their family. Some kind of physical play where they are the swift and the strong and the brave, and you are the one who just cannot quite figure out what's going on, and you sort of get got over and over again, is really, really helpful. So that on a playful level, it's like you're not trying to fool them that you really can't win the game or you really can't get your monkey back. But you're willingly and happily and affectionately, you know, being the befuddled one or the one that, you know, that's having a hard time, and they get to be the victor. And, you know, you can try putting up a little bit of resistance, and you just want to watch and see, does that bring more laughter or does that scare them? And depending on the level of fear that they are carrying, you know, if they're carrying a lot of fear, then you don't get to be very powerful in the play. Being very, you know, less powerful brings more laughter, but with a child who actually kind of can throw their weight around, sometimes you have to put up a lot of resistance in order to get laughter, but you always lose in the end. If you're the therapist or you're the parent, trying to help a child with their, you know, their issues, during play listening, or special time, you always lose in the end, but you don't lose quietly. You just, oh my gosh, I can't believe you won this again. Like I played basketball with kids where, you know, with really little ones where, you know, they get, you know, 100 points and I have them easily 2 points. And every time they make another point, I marvel at how could I be so far behind? And they just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, really encouraging for children to have a place where it's not, you know, the way it is at school or the way it is at home or the way it is with their little brother, their brother or their sister who, they feel, you know, bamboozled by. So, and it's not the only thing, but it opens the gateway to more work. As Danielle, you know, described earlier, you know, the laughter, play with laughter allows a child to then sort of test the limits. And then when you have to set the limits in order to keep them safe or in order to keep them from, you know, trashing your, you know, the environment, then, you know, a huge explosion can come up and they can work really deeply on the hurt that they have sustained over time. But you got to get some spontaneous play going and
And physical play is really good for that. Hope that's
helpful.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We are at 6 o'clock, but I'm going to go ahead and pick a few of these other folks who want to say something, because I think this is a good and rich teleseminar, and I think we'll go another 10 minutes here if we can. So, Julie Nevison, go ahead.
Hi, Patty. Can you hear me okay?
Hi. Yes, we can hear you.
This has really been great. Thank you for all of you who have spoken tonight. I have a grandmother who signed up for my class, the BEU, and she also signed up for the mother. And I think the mother and dad separated when the daughter was, the now 8-year-old was 2 or 3 years old, and none of them have shown up for the class. So the mother is asking me for a therapist for the 8-year-old. How would I go about finding one? Any ideas?
So I'm going to answer this in general so that people from, we've got people here from all over the world listening in. You can send an email to info@handinhandparenting.org. That's handinhandparenting.org. And ask. We do have people who have gone through the professionals intensive, so they have had an introduction to parenting by connection.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people are in an ongoing supervision group with Maya and Robin, so they are, you know, practicing, learning, deepening their practice over time. And we might be able to recommend someone who at least has some familiarity with parenting by connection, depending on where you live. And if we can't, I'm not sure what to say. Maya, do you have an idea of where someone would go if there is no one in their geographical area who understands parenting by connection?
I think before even sort of trying to look locally, you might want to think about having the parent get connected with our consultation program to see if working with one of the certified instructors might be a good start at
okay.
least. As instructors, I mean, if you were to send an email and, that could get passed on to instructors who might know of people in their communities who are professionals and may have some exposure to parenting by connection, that could be another way to kind of get hooked in with some of the connections we all have in our own communities.
Mm-hmm.
Patty, may I add to this? It's Beth.
Go ahead.
I want to comment here for the folks who are child therapists who are new to parenting by connection and you're just kind of here trying to find out more about this strategy. This question speaks to a growing need that we have, those of us who are already incorporating hand-in-hand parenting into our practices. I, for example, have a growing need to refer children of parents who are in my groups to child therapists who know hand-in-hand parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the child therapist is working kind of, if the child therapist, even well-intentioned and the connection is good, is trying to support the parents with behavioral strategies, there's going to be a disconnect. And for those of you who are child therapists, please learn more about this strategy, and if it really feels like it matches the heart of what you're trying to deliver, I can tell you there's a tremendous need in the parent community for child therapists who know about hand-in-hand.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah.
So Megan Probert from Queensland, Australia. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for this teleseminar. It's been so wonderful to listen. I just have a general question. I was wondering if any of you make any particular adjustments when you're working with children who've had experienced complex trauma. So I guess for you, Maya, that sounds like that's where you do most of your work. Do you adjust the tools or the way you work with parents around the tools according to what's going on for the children or their expressions of their complex trauma?
Yeah, good question. So, I think Patty's comment that, you know, these tools kind of have infinite expression, infinite ways to kind of, to tailor your approach to what is happening for a particular child, what their experiences really were. Most of the work that I do is working with families of children who've had complex trauma. And I have to say this, the elements of parenting by connection are really, really comprehensive and really are, kind of the components in, evidence-based kind of trauma treatments for infants and young children. So I just think it's a really robust approach that is quite effective for families who are dealing with the after effects of complex trauma, particularly the kind of emotional, the sort of pervasive emotional dysregulation that's really the hallmark of kind of complex trauma. It's like this particular approach gives parents the tools to kind of understand that kind of emotional expression, sort of what's seen as emotional dysregulation, but is actually in many ways how we respond, how people respond to difficult experiences, and how we attempt to heal from those difficult experiences. So I would say this really is an approach that is very appropriate for working with complex trauma.
And I'll just add there that I think one of the ways that we use the tools is to make sure that we're supporting the parent to do a good bit of the counseling of the child, or as much as the parent can manage. And as we help parents go in and work on how they were traumatized and where they feel urgent or out of control or panicked or, despairing that things will ever get easier, whatever the feelings are that come up for them that make them kind of throw up their hands around their child who's having, sort of fairly substantial behavioral challenges. As you work with the parent on the early origins of the feelings that come up when they are challenged by their child's behavior, doors open and parents become able to help their child and connect with their child where they never really could connect with their child before. And every time you open a door like that for a parent, the child is able to move forward. So, for instance, a mom that I've been working with for several, I think 5 years now, whose child spent his first year in an orphanage that was very, very poorly run. He just had almost no connection at all as an infant. So he spent his first 2 years after adoption with her, clinging to her, and they couldn't, no one could come over to their house. And, the appearance of any new person in the family, he would scream at the top of his lungs until that person went away. They really had no social life. She couldn't take him anywhere. When he went to preschool, he just clung to her with his fists, sort of white-knuckled fists, and wouldn't get off of her lap for 3 months. They spent, every morning in preschool, and he wouldn't even sit next to her. He was just so traumatized. And
sometimes that comes out in aggression. Sometimes he comes home from school, which is a disconnecting experience for him many days, and is just full of aggression and wants to, you know, sort of wail on his mom. And she learned to handle that very well. And there are, you know, she can turn that bid for attention and help into a healing experience. But, you know, there are ways where, you know, it's really hard to handle a child's aggression, especially if they get older. And I was listening to her about her own deep trauma and the early disconnection in her life, which was also pretty substantial. And she kind of hit this really new place where she'd never been able to talk about her experience before. And she just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed one day. And then, you know, her child came home from school disconnected and ready to, you know, ready to sort of, you know, hit, kick and be totally furious. And she said, you know, she moved in and stopped him from, you know, being able to do any harm, you know, as gently as she could. And just there was some new awareness that she had, having let go of huge trauma that she was carrying, so that she could be more on his side than she'd been before. And these are subtle differences. It's like you wouldn't see it from the outside necessarily, but she was more herself. She was more present. She was less urgent. She was less kind of doing the thing you're supposed to do and more bringing herself to him. And she said she could tell that he was partnering with her as well, that he wasn't his usual, you know, mind shut down, you know, wailing away as though he was the only person in the world. You know, that they actually were working together, and it was, you know, pretty hot and heavy on the outside, but she could tell that she was more present. She could tell that he was more present. And out of that big cry and stay listening, I don't know, he had some very, very significant insight about, you know, his life and his, you know, his birth mother after that that he'd never been able to say before, because we had moved feelings for her. And then she was able to, you know, be more present with him. So in a way, it's not so much modifying the tools as it is bringing more help, you know, because parents who have children with, you know, deep, early, complex trauma need a ton of help. So it's bringing more help and getting everybody who's on the therapeutic team working on their own feelings so that they bring more of themselves every time they're with the child. And when they get reactive, when they get upset, when the child comes up with a new behavior that just, you know, offends them in some way or scares them in some way, that they get emotional help so that they can come back refreshed and better able to really see who the child is that's trapped under the fear and the, you know, the behavior that's meant to keep the fear in place. So I think that's what I would say is really, you know, we're really working on both sides of the relationship because everybody needs support when a child is really badly hurt.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Right. I think we don't want to wear out our welcome. I'd like maybe a couple of people to raise your hands and say just one thing that you found useful about tonight. We'll end with a couple of comments from people about what they heard that they appreciated or what was news to them. Anybody want to contribute here? Press star 2 if you want to say something. Okay. Amy, go ahead.
Hi. I just appreciate everyone taking the time to be here and feel connected in this work that we're doing. And I really did especially appreciate Robin's summary of how she's using the work directly, just really succinct points of what she's found helpful and accessible to sharing with clients, links and articles in the session, just very tangible things that we can bring to the work.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you. And someone else from San Francisco who just raised your hand, go ahead. Is that you, Beth?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Hi, Patty. It's Casey.
Oh, hi.
I just want to say that I just feel so grateful to be in community because this is such a radically different way of working with kids and parents. I'm a psychotherapist in San Francisco, and it just feels so refreshing and comforting to hear everyone talk to be, just to feel like, that, you know, there is support for doing this work. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. So if you're interested in pursuing learning parenting by connection for your work in your own family with your children, and or for your work as a therapist, a social worker, a community worker, a nurse, someone who's interacting with parents and children and is faced with, you know, the emotional challenges of doing that, please go to our website and click on Get Work with an Expert, and under that, under Intensives and Retreats, you'll see the listing of Professionals Intensive and Parenting by Connection. It's an 8-week course. You get to download the videos immediately. Well, actually, on December 14th, the videos will be downloaded. You can sign up for one of several call times, and we try to, you know, do a call as soon as we've got at least 3 people. And then either Robin or Maya, who were here with us today, will be your Professionals Intensive mentor, and you can learn parenting by connection, you can practice it, you can get their really very experienced mentoring in behind you, and you can try doing the listening tools both in your family and as support for yourself. It's a very rich experience, and people who have taken the Professionals Intensive have been really impressed with how deeply they have learned and how much help it has been, both to them personally and professionally. So we hope to see you there, and thank you very much for joining us tonight. And I want to thank Danielle and Maya and Beth and Robin very, very much for contributing tonight. So goodbye, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And feel free to share the playback that you get from tonight with any of your therapist friends that you'd like. Thank you, and good night.